Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful Overbooked. It's WrestleMania week, so this is WrestleMania newsworthy, where literally everything is on the table and everything is newsworthy because, let's face it, we have absolutely no idea what we've actually put out into the ether over the last week. I am Adriel Pearl, and I'm with Jeremy Lambert, as always. Jeremy, how you feeling? How you doing? How are you surviving?
It's Friday morning. I got about six hours of sleep, and you know, back at it. I'm gonna be up late again tonight by the time everybody listens to this. Yeah, it's WrestleMania week. Like, I, at the end of the day, I can't complain. I'm covering wrestling for a living. Like, it's not a terrible gig or anything. I work really hard, and I don't want to say like I train for this week, but I certainly like mentally prepare for this week of like, look, I know that I'm going to be locked into the desk from Thursday to Sunday. And there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do. And I'll go ahead and put her over right here. Like, I ain't got the difficult job. The wife has the difficult job. We got kids. She has the difficult job. I'm writing about children in their underwear play fighting.
So afterwards, she can do the same.
Yeah.
It's funny, you're writing news stories, and this time I'm not in front of the camera. I'm actually working from my desk, and I'm editing audio and video. So the stuff that you see that Sean is sending us that we're putting up from interviews, that's a lot of that is me editing and cropping and putting it together for y'all. So Sean's doing the easy work of talking to talent, and then I get to do the hard work of editing and make sure that everything is audible and visible and appealing. And then Jeremy has the harder work of writing about those interviews, especially when the audio or video is hard or unintelligible or unappealing, which honestly, no one's unappealing, let's face it. Maybe Sean.
Sean's very unappealing. I mean, usually Joel, I know you do your whole spiel of the five news stories that maybe you saw or flew under the radar. I don't know the bit.
They're all flying under the radar, Jeremy. They've all flown under the radar. You either saw them or you didn't. And if you didn't, then guess what? There's another one coming right around the bend.
So that's usually what we do. We pick out five stories. And I messaged Joel before this. I was like, look, I don't have five stories for this week. It's not because I don't have five stories. It's literally because I could do five stories per day at the rate that stuff has just like come out and all the stuff there is. So instead of, you know, narrowing it down to five stories, just kind of go through certain things. There are some stuff that I want to hit on, but the thing with Mania Week, and I say this all the time, is like, there's always something to do in the world of covering wrestling because there's no off season. There's a lot of interviews. There's so many podcasts nowadays. If a WWE or an AEW person isn't doing a podcast, an independent wrestler is probably doing a podcast that is a little bit more difficult to find, but it's probably out there. There's virtual signings. There's so much to cover. And it's not even like interview news. It could just be like news that's out there. There's always something to do when it comes to this job. Mania Week is the 1,000 times like height of that, in that there's not only always something to do, there is, you don't even like need to take a break if you don't want to. During a normal week, it's like, okay, I can have lunch and there can be something to do, but it ain't that time. Mania Week, it's like, no, you can do something like 24/7. There's there's so many media appearances. Everybody is doing media, whether it's the media scrums that WWE does, where you interview like eight people in short little clips and everything, and they do that across 2 days. People are doing the big radio hits. Charlotte Flair has done a lot of media this week. Bianca Belair did a lot of media early in the week. Shawn Michaels is having impromptu press conferences at the same time. Tony Khan is doing his media call, which was hilarious.
And announcing NXT shows that are happening on the same nights as AEW pay-per-views. So Jeremy, tell me it's not a war. Damn it.
So let's talk about that. So we're going to be all over the place for this show. But let's actually talk about that, because yes, Sean, they do this impromptu press conference. I'm on the Tony Khan media call. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I asked Sean, I was like, hey, when's the NXT call this week? Like, what's going on with that? He's like, they haven't said anything. I was like, okay. Like, I assume there's one at some point, but sure, they haven't said anything. And then I'm getting ready for the ROH media call, and all of a sudden I see Shawn Michaels is just doing a press conference at Media Row or whatever for WrestleMania, Media Center at WrestleMania. And I'm like, oh, all right, guess we're doing that now. And then Tony Khan is, Will Washington calls into the ROH call. He's like, hey, Shawn Michaels just said this. And Tony Khan is like, I didn't know they were doing a media call at this time. That's interesting. You know, he's like, oh, that's in the spirit of the week with all the wrestling going on. And yes, during Sean's press conference, they announced an NXT show the same day. Not only the same day, because they've done same day or same weekend plenty of times. It's listed as the same time as Double or Nothing. So we're going to have dual shows going on Memorial Day. And remember, the Saudi show is on that Saturday. So hooray for all of this. But Sean is asked about this by Ariel Helwani in an interview. And he's like, what's going on here? And Sean is like, oh, just the holidays, you know, like WWE does well in the holidays. This was the date given to us. This is what we picked. It's like, okay, Sean, if you say so. I mean, look, Sean ain't gonna be like, yeah, we're trying to do stuff. Like, is NXT going, like, we've seen this war, right? AEW won. They kicked them off of Wednesdays. But we know what NXT is doing. It's just trying to undercut, even if it takes 2,000 buys away from AEW, because it's like, you know what? I can watch Peacock. I already got this. I'll just watch this instead of paying $50 for this AEW pay-per-view. It's just chopping at toes, and you keep chopping at toes, and eventually you work your way up to the head is what they're hoping for. I respect the pettiness. I got to be honest.
First of all, we both know that in wrestling, nobody lies and everybody tells the truth. So clearly this is just Sean, you know, they didn't look at the calendar. There's no shared calendar between AEW and NXT. No, of course not. It's very clearly that. It's fine. But it's funny that we talk about, you know, WrestleMania. There's so much stuff going on. And then we literally just talked ourselves into what's happening in May and being like, oh, there's a Saudi pay-per-view and there's an NXT show and there's AEW Double or Nothing. And then there'll be a scrum after Double or Nothing. And I'm sure there'll be some press going into Double or Nothing. And I'm sure that it's basically going to be, it's not going to be Mania week, but it's going to be a full court press weekend, similar to what we're dealing with right now. And I do wonder what went into them having this impromptu Shawn Michaels sit down presser. Did somebody realize, oh no, we haven't scheduled a call, and someone called an audible and just said, well, he's here, so let's just do it now. Or like, I'd love to hear what went into the eventual conference call or impromptu session with Shawn Michaels.
I think, I'm not giving WWE the benefit of the doubt here. I think they knew when Tony's media call was, and they were like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And they had, because this was at, the WrestleMania Media Center, all the media is there doing their car wash interviews with all the talent on Thursday. It's like, oh, hey, everybody's here for this. Let's do the Shawn Michaels press conference scrum at this moment, like when everybody kind of finishes up their car wash interviews. Did it just happen to perfectly align with the ROH call? Yes. Was that fully intentional? I don't think fully. I think it was a very curious incident that aligned up there. I do think it was always their plan, because they could have done it on Friday, right? But you know, Friday, that only gives you a day day of coverage, where Thursday you're getting a little bit more juice out of it. So I think it happily aligned that it was the same time as the ROH call. But I do think it was always their plan of, we're going to do this impromptu press conference here because we have all the media here doing the car wash interviews.
Do you think it would have been funnier if on Saturday morning at 3 a.m., Shawn Michaels in the venue waiting for talent to arrive because their door time is what, 6 a.m. is call time for stand and deliver? It's just Shawn at 3 a.m. sitting with the UK media just being like, good morning, let's talk about NXT. I have a coffee, let's go. It's the only way to see it working. Because no, that's the thing. You could have done it today, 100%. You could have done it Friday as we're recording. But again, we don't know how packed the schedule is in terms of NXT and everything. But I also agree with you that they probably saw, oh, TK is doing this, so maybe we can get away with, hey, Sean, what are you up to right now? Sean,
I don't know, just having a coffee, hanging out. All right, you want to come and do a thing? All right.
That's a good Shawn Michaels impression, I got to say. That's not bad.
Early in the morning, we're good to go.
Yeah, it's not bad, honestly. I don't know what goes into these decisions. I'm not giving the benefit of the doubt on how this all aligned, honestly. I'm not. Do they have an AEW schedule? No, their competition is everything, Joel Pearl. Their competition is sleep. Their competition is Disney. But I do. They clearly keep tabs on stuff and when what's running and when it's running. And again, I'm not mad at it. I love the pettiness. ROH is running a show the same night as SmackDown and everything. ROH has been running, for years, the same WrestleMania weekend, sometimes the same night, sometimes the same as when NXT was around. And then, WrestleMania went two nights, so it'd be the same night as SmackDown and everything. They're there. It's WWE's right to have the media when they do. It's AEW ROH's right to have the media when they do. I find it hilarious. I think it's great. I want more of it. Keep feeding me these petty shots like other pettiness that happened during this week.
Are you asking them to feed you more?
No, we're not talking about that.
I do want to actually bring up Rey Mysterio. There was a quote that ran where he's talking about this match is dedicated to all the fathers who had to put up with their children. And I'm sitting here like, Rey, you're the face of this. You're the good guy.
Oh, who gives a shit? Rey rules. Rey just, I popped. Rey's
supposed to beat up his kids.
I popped so much for that. Rey's another person that's done a shit ton of media this week, which understandable. He's going into the Hall of Fame. By the time everybody listens to this, he's in the Hall of Fame. He's got a big match against Dominic and everything. So yeah, a lot of media for Rey. This was on the Jason show, which this is what I mean by WrestleMania week. You get these appearances that typically they ain't touching wrestling. They don't care about wrestling. They don't know anything about wrestling. But hey, here's a wrestling thing because it's WrestleMania week. So he's on the Jason show. He gives a bunch of cliche answers. This guy clearly doesn't know too much about wrestling. He's just given like generic questions of like, what's going on this weekend? Oh, who's your opponent type of thing. And then at the end of it, Rey is just like, the beating that I give my son is dedicated to all the fathers that are putting up with their kids like I am. And I'm like, oh, it's a one sentence quote, but this is going to pop so big on Twitter that I got no choice but to run it. I ran it. It popped big, and oh, it was so good. Rey knows what he's doing with this stuff.
So this is like a 5 or 6 minute segment. I just pulled it up now. I just want to point out that like this is how niche all of these interviews are. Going back to what you were mentioning, everyone and their mother gets an interview. The Jason show, it looks like Oprah in like the smallest town you can think of, because you have four rows of, let's face it, older white women, and I see two men, older white men, and they're all just watching this show, and Rey Mysterio is on. He's not in the audience. He's not in the studio. He's in via Skype or whatever, but yeah, anyone and their mothers can get onto the show apparently.
I have no idea what the reach of the Jason show is. Like I've never heard of this. I imagine that it'll never run. I probably will never hear of it again until know, somebody, it's WrestleMania week next year, they're like, hey, let's go on to the Jason show type of thing. But yeah, Ray just shows up. It's a very nondescript, low key show. Here's Ray, and he just drops this line. And you know what? He actually had some talk about like the mask and stuff, like wearing the mask in public. That was actually a good quote that I was about to run just to pull something from it for my time, even though it was only like a 6-minute interview. But then he dropped this line at the end. Ray is like underrated when it comes to media. Because you think of Ray, and the knock on Ray has always been like, oh, not a good promo type of thing. And like, I don't think he's a bad promo or anything, but he's not a guy you think of when you think of like all-time great promos or something like that. But when it comes to like media, he's really good, obviously really well-spoken, and can give like just good anecdotes. He's obviously got a long history with everything, so he's got plenty of stories to tell. But he understands like there's a charm to like doing a lot of this media stuff. And Ray does that very well. The more I've listened to him this week, which again has been a lot, I realize just how good he is. And I wish they'd probably do more media with him, because I don't feel like he's done enough throughout his career. And they've probably missed the boat a little bit on that.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he does a one-man show after he hangs it up under the WWE banner. And I'm not being facetious. Like, I think that they might offer him the opportunity if he wants to go out and do, you know, 45 to an hour of stand-up about his career, because he's had a ridiculous career in like the best way possible. He's wrestled for every major promotion minus TNA, but like he's had, let's just face it, but he's like, he was in All In, he wrestled in ECW, he wrestled WCW, he was, you know, he was in the WWE, but he has always had a spot, and of course in Lucha in Mexico, he's always had a spot in wrestling, and he has a really impressive resume and a really impressive story. Like, he's been able to involve his family. They basically have shares in Louis Vuitton, because every time you see them on there, that's what they're wearing. That's just the way it is. Going back to the Jason show, I have now like started doing this deep dive into the Jason show.
Oh,
I'm on their YouTube channel. It's a daily entertainment talk show hosted by a Twin Cities, so like a Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota person named Jason. And I went into their videos, and I went to their most popular one. Jeremy, I want you to take a guess as to what their most popular video could be, given the markup of the demographics we discussed earlier.
Like views? Like, is that what I'm guessing? Yes. Like views? Yes.
Their highest viewed video could it be?
It might be the Ray video, honestly. Like, I'm not even close. Okay. I don't know.
The Ray video is at 599 views.
Okay.
The top view from 3 years ago at 404,000 views, Psychic Maria's predictions for 2020.
Oh, how'd that go? I'm very interested in this now. Because if she predicted that we'd be all be inside for the entire year, then you know what? The Jason show is my new news source.
Well, I don't think so, because the second biggest one is Psychic Maria gives end of 2020 predictions to 270,000 views. And then there's Kids Baking Championship winners and interviews of the likes. So once again, anyone and their mother can get an interview during WrestleMania week, it seems.
Yeah, they're just doing stuff. Like, so Twin Cities, Minnesota, like, this is across the United States, and Ray doesn't have ties to Minnesota, I don't think. It's not like they're in Minnesota. This is literally just like the Jason show. This is a show, and it seems like it's somewhat, I don't even know if it's like popular or anything, but here you go. Here's Ray Mysterio. WrestleMania Media Week is the dumbest thing. You can find just stuff from all over, and you've never heard of this stuff. It doesn't even like have a link to wrestling. It doesn't even have a link to like where they're at or anything, but it's like, you know what? You're doing media, man. You're doing media.
It's absolutely insane. I'm just looking. I don't get where it came from. Maybe the Jason show wants to comment and tell us how this interview came together, because I am just flabbergasted. That's all I can do.
Can I get we need Jason show cred so we can get some interviews, honestly. Like, that's what we need. Jason show, let us know how you get these interviews, because I would like to interview WWE superstars.
Oh, that works. I mean we this channel, Fightful Overbooked, has more subscribers, more followers than the Jason show.
Yeah, we should get these interviews. I got questions for a lot of these wrestlers that are not as generic. I want to know what Bianca Belair was thinking when she saw Montez's Ford's face in the WrestleMania Performance Center. That's my big question for Bianca Belair.
Speaking of wrestlers being interviewed on Overbooked, do you want to talk about your Gringo Loco interview? I know it was Spotlight, but obviously it's going to show up here on Overbooked shortly. Do you want to talk about that and Gringo Loco's World on Lucha show that's coming up?
Yeah, it was good. Everyone go watch it on the Spotlight and support Gringo Loco and World on Lucha because, again, Gringo Loco very generous with his time. A big week for him, big week for a lot of independent wrestlers. So we're appreciative that he gave us about 40 minutes to talk to us on Tuesday night. So, Gringo Loco has reduced himself to doing our stupid little show. So bless him. You know, I actually do want to talk about something from that show. So people who listen to it, I asked Gringo Loco who would win a hypothetical street fight between Cody Rhodes and Eddie Kingston. This hypothetical question came up during our interview with Moe's, good friend of the Spotlight, because it was apparently a thing Jensen and Moe's used to debate. And I asked Gringo Loco this because, one, I thought it was just funny, and bless him for like giving an answer and everything. And so this is now like going to be a staple of our interviews, as long as I feel the vibe is good with like the wrestlers and everything. I'm not trying to piss off any of the wrestlers with being like, hey, who would win the street fight? But it's a fun, silly little question that can loosen things up or make some enemies, I guess. Jensen, by the way, so I'm going to peel back the curtain a lot here. Jensen was like, well, what if we ask Eddie Kingston and CM Punk? Like, what if we ask like who would win that fight? I was like, I don't know if we want to talk too much about CM Punk getting into fights with other wrestlers, because I don't like, there's a charm to Eddie Kingston versus Cody Rhodes, right? It's like, oh, I don't know what their personal relationship is, but it's a funny little hypothetical thing. They obviously, Eddie's first AEW match, the reason he got the contract was the Cody thing, everything. CM Punk and Eddie Kingston seems to be some realness there that I don't know if wrestlers like are really going to want to weigh in on. So we're going to stick with Cody and Eddie. Hopefully wrestlers have fun with that. CM Punk was in the headlines again this week. Last week he tweeted or Instagrammed and deleted, and then Jonathan Moxley gave his response. And I thought Moxley's response on Renee's podcast was obviously fantastic. John Moxley rules, and basically said he doesn't want to deal with this bullshit and everything. And I don't blame him. The big takeaway from that podcast for me, Joel Pearl, was John Moxley and Renee Paquette, the sexual tension between them at the end of the show with like, you got great legs. You got great legs.
You want to go touch legs and talk about it? Oh baby. I'm just like, we're ready. We're going. It's baby. And then she has the interview with Barbie Blake, with Kelly Kelly. And she's like, oh, my baby gives me baby fever. And I'm just like, oh, it's connecting tissue. Let's go.
I love John Moxley and Renee Paquette. That's like my favorite couple in wrestling. They are so, so great together. That interview, I love when Renee is just like, you're so cute. Just like, just throwing out, oh, you're so handsome. Like, you're bleeding all over the place. Like, yeah, it's a little turn up, but you're so cute. Like, look at this cute face. It's like, oh, they're so adorable. John Moxley, you think a big gruff man and everything. And here's his wife just being, got great legs, got such a cute face, so handsome. Oh, it's fantastic. I love them.
He's just got to stop eating ice cream in the damn bed.
Yeah, that ruled too. That ruled as well. Oh, so good. Yeah, when the Moxley's talking about wrestling, he's like, I like to explore things. And Renee's like, sexually in the bedroom? Moxley's like, well, you know.
The answer was clearly yes.
Yeah.
Just say it.
They're the best. Who cares about the CM Punk stuff? I didn't give a shit about that. Just give me the sexual tension between Renee and her husband, because that rules. Keep doing more interviews together, Renee.
So what's really funny is you guys, I forgot when it was, but you were doing a show and I was watching and just commenting here and there. And you said like new episode with Mox drops and he's probably going to talk about the Punk thing. And I said in the chat, I'm like, no, I think it was recorded the week before, because there was the episode that Renee did with Emilio. She says in that interview, she's like, oh, John just walked in. He's going to talk to me after we finish. And I was like, And that's why. And then it dawned on me because they started the podcast saying we were supposed to record it last week, but then some stuff happened. And like, it wasn't even about the punk stuff. It was just, I guess, life got in the way and they didn't end up recording. And then the best thing possible for ratings happened and the punk stuff happened. So,
well, yeah, it was the show I did on Monday, the like little radio wrestling show that I had a lot of fun with. But yeah, it was that show. But I saw the announcement, and Renee said it in the announcement, not like the tweet, but then she did something on like Instagram that I saw, and it did say like, and we're going to talk about the CM Punk comment. So I was not baselessly saying like, oh, they're going to talk about the CM Punk. Like, they put that out there that they were going to talk about that. So don't doubt me, Joel Pearl. I had a direct source on that when I mentioned that they were going to talk about the CM Punk stuff while I was trying to hype it up a little bit. So yeah, they talked about it. They never mentioned him by name. What's his dick is what they called him.
Well, what's his dick texted our pal Dax during his live show. So I think that's where we were going. Let's talk about that for a sec. Sean showed up at that show for some reason.
And his mic.
I think his microphone worked there.
No, it was screwed up there as well.
Oh dear. Yeah. That's a problem. Anyway, let's talk about Dax and what's his dick.
I mean, Dax did his live show with the Great Matt Coon, and CM Punk texted him, and then they got a little CM Punk chant, and there you go. I don't have much to say about this. Like, I wrote an article about it because it's one of those things where there's so much to do during WrestleMania week. This was something to do. It's obviously gonna, you know, garner attention and everything. Anything CM Punk right now is gonna garner attention. So I was like, okay, hey, let's do this. Sure, let's write this article that CM Punk text, I miss the fans. Like, I'm sure he does. There's a lot that goes into the CM Punk stuff right now. I feel like I've covered a lot of it. I don't have much more to add to it. I'm sure Dax's show was great. I'm sure when I go back and listen to it, I hope Sean Spears buries a bunch of people. That's hilarious to me. Yeah, they ain't too much to say about that. I was hoping Punk was going to show up. Like, if he really wanted to do something, like, don't text, just walk onto the stage.
I mean, you tell everyone you're going to buy them all. I wish I had bought them all ice cream. Buy them all ice cream. Just be like, hey, can you reimburse me? Like, come on, what is this? I wish I bought. Just do it, buddy. Call it in. I don't care what you need to do. Buy everyone an ice cream bar. Get your ducks in a row and make it happen. None of this IG delete, tweet delete, text delete. I never said anything about ice cream. Well, you did. Here's the text. And then nobody gets ice cream. Jeremy, I want ice cream. That's all I want is ice cream.
I'll go get some ice cream. Here's what I want to talk about, Joel Pearl. A lot of interviews this week. Bruce Pritchard did an interview, like an actual interview, not something to wrestle, like an actual interview with the Press Box, which I believe is a Ringer podcast. Or is Ringer a little bit of relationship with WWE there and everything. So he did an interview with the Press Box, and like they asked about Vince and if Vince had returned and everything. He said, nope, Vince doesn't have any hand in creative, although now he's a WWE employee and is gonna be the executive chairman for at least a 2-year term. But Bruce said, like, Vince hasn't given any creative input. Like, we saw him at the show referencing the Boston show where he was at. He's like, he said, hey, everyone, great show. Good job, guys. And that was it. He also talked about, we had the idea for Cody and Roman, like, August 2022. That's when we kind of were planning Cody and Roman for WrestleMania. A very interesting interview because Bruce doesn't do a lot when he's on something to wrestle. I feel like all they run is like old shows nowadays. I don't even know if he's doing like new shows. But when they do, he doesn't talk too much about what's happening currently. It's largely just, you know, the past stuff that him and Conrad are going to cover and everything. So, but this is the WrestleMania week push, right? Like, you get somebody like Bruce Pritchard who doesn't do a ton of media outside of his own podcast, where very controlled there. And he's out here doing a pretty big, like a podcast on the Ringer Network. So that was a very good interview, I thought with Bruce. Some of the stuff he said, like, yeah, he's getting to dance around certain stuff. He also gave comment on Triple H as well, if you listen to the full thing, talking about what it's like working with him. So that was a good interview with Bruce, if people have not checked that out. But this is, again, the WrestleMania week of, like, you don't know who's going to pop up you don't know who's going to pop up when it comes to these WrestleMania week interviews. People who just don't do a lot of media all of a sudden are doing media.
So next year, WrestleMania is in Philly, and Fightful Overbooked will be open for all of your media needs. Do not contact the Jason Show. Contact Fightful Overbooked. Okay? We can get an audience. Like, we can bring in our family and friends to, like, sit behind us and, like, clap, or we can use, like, artificial clap. I don't know. Do I have one here?
What was that? It was birds.
Welcome to Fightful Overbooked. That's it.
I thought about, I'm gonna get in trouble for saying this. You know, we get kids, Joel Pearl, the wife and I, not me and you have
well, kids. We might, yeah. There was that one time.
I got kids. And I the wife and I were talking of, like, hey, you know, we could use one of them to do, like, interviews. I feel like the wrestlers would really enjoy. Joel, you know the kids, like, you know which one you're doing. Yeah. The interviews. Yeah. Like, you can't. The show would be stolen with this child. Like,
the amount of times that my wife has been like, you want to take the baby with you to the interviews? They'll probably love it. And I'm like, yes, they probably will. Except then I'm screwed because I have to sit here holding a microphone and hoping that the kid's not grabbing at the microphone,
yeah,
yelling and screaming in my face or wanting to run around. The people tell it will love them. Absolutely. Don't get me wrong, but, like, I think a baby's conducive to running the interview circuits.
Right. Like, a baby is a little different. Like, our kids are a little bit older, so, you know, they know what's going on and everything. It's just, you know, let the kid run the interview, ask the questions and everything. So WrestleMania, I'm going to use the children to curry favor with the WWE superstars, because, you know, you can't turn away these kids. They're adorable. Absolutely adorable.
Yeah. Adorable kids make adorable content.
Yeah. So AJ we've Awesome. Been told. Yeah. AJ Awesome. Yeah. He's like 20 now.
He's just perpetually small. It's Izzy. It's Izzy Mania. That's what it is. It's Izzy just trying to do.
Yeah. Hey, Izzy's like 25, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I have no idea how old any of them are. I'm sorry. It's just crazy because, like, we've been doing this for so long, and, like, I know Izzy. I know AJ Awesome. Like, I've met Izzy personally. I don't think I've met AJ personally, but, like, you know, 5 years ago when they were doing this, or I guess 4 years ago with AEW and everything, like, they're just small, and it's like, oh yeah, it's them. Izzy was Bailey NXT era stuff, which was a long time ago at this point. And now you see them, and, like, they are, like, not adults, but you just see them grow, and it's like, oh my gosh, like, I'm friggin' old. that's basically the punchline here is, I'm friggin' old.
We've had that realization a few times over WrestleMania week. Jeff and I did a show last weekend where we realized, how many WrestleManias has it been? Oh, this is 39. Jeff's like, I've watched them all live. And I'm like, yes, you're old, Jeff Hawkins. So go check that out. It's on Fightful Overbooked. Ray was on After the Bell, by the way. So there's another interview for Ray Mysterio.
Yeah. I did not listen to that. But I'm sure it was great. I know we got a couple articles out of that. One like just went up, and another one is I assume running tomorrow. But yeah, Ray doing a lot of media, man. The media man, not Righteous Reg, but the media man, Ray Mysterio out there. You know, there's a lot of media this week. Nick Khan's done a ton of friggin' media.
That's typical though. That is a Nick Khan staple when there's a big event. Yeah. You know, I remember when I went to Vegas for SummerSlam. His interview with Ariel Helwani made big headlines, and it dropped the day after SummerSlam. That was a big deal. But yeah, he's out there, especially now with the sale looming. He's got to get ahead of all the conversation and the clickety clack.
I like that Nick Khan does so many interviews. Like, he dances his way around a lot of topics. He's, you know, he's an executive. He's a high power figure. He understands how this stuff works. People, like, I think you mentioned this of when he was like, oh yeah, you know, Vince runs WWE. There's only one person who runs WWE, and it's Vince. It's like, yeah, that was And people were like, well, there you go. He just said the quiet part out loud. It's like the quiet part was said out loud when he came back and was like, I'm majority shareholder and you ain't doing shit without me. Like that was when it was said out loud. And then of course the filing came out of like, yeah, he's executive chairman. And we knew he was voted. He was voted chairman of the board when he came back and stuff. So, you know, said the quiet part out loud. It's we knew this, like when he came back to the board, this was all very known. He's not in name the president or the CEO or anything like that anymore, but as the controlling shareholder, he's always had this power and he's utilized this power to get back to where he was. So people are going to make headlines out of anything. I'm not one to talk about that, right? Like I'm going to make a headline out of anything. So Nick Khan saying that, yes, it's a headline. It's a good quote. I understand why you would run that. It's newsworthy. This happens a lot when it comes to this stuff is like, people will just read the headline and it's like, there you go. It's there. And it's like, the information's already out there. Like do you really need this person to say this for it to like click with you? And I guess some people do, which okay. But to me, when I read that, it's like, yeah, it's a news article for sure. But it's also just a very like, it ain't that new. Like it ain't that big of a deal to where we need to just like all freak out and stuff. Like it's how it's been since January.
Did you know that Vince McMahon is going to be at WrestleMania and this is a huge deal?
That one was hilarious to me. That one was really hilarious.
That's how you know that people are either 16 years old and on Twitter or just completely unaware of how business runs.
Yeah. That one, again, I get why like websites are aggregating. I get why like it's reported and stuff. It's like Vince McMahon news. Yes, this is definitely like news. Vince is going to be there. I think we reported when Vince was like back in the offices and everything. Like it's news. I get it. My job as a news writer is not always to just write the stuff that I'm like, well, this is dumb. Yeah, duh. This is what's happening and everything. Like it's to write stuff that I think people are interested in and that I think will hit with people and will start a conversation and things like that. So Vince McMahon being at WrestleMania is a conversation starter and everything. It's when people do it. Like the discourse around all of it is like, Vince is there. What does this mean? It's like, well, it means the same thing it's meant since January when he said he was going to return and lead media rights negotiations. And they've said since then, WrestleMania is a big weekend for media rights negotiations because it's in Los Angeles and we got a bunch of executives here taking in the show. So yeah, Vince is going to be there for that.
Here's a big question, Jeremy. Will he have the mustache still?
I hope so. You can bet on him like appearing on the show. Do you think he appears on the show?
No, not intentionally. I don't think he does intentionally appear.
I wondered if like, I don't think it's going to be like a big, like, hey, here's Vince McMahon, trot him out there. No chance in hell type thing. I could see the odds are like really good. It's like plus 2000. Watch wrestling with
him. I'm seeing as everyone's a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, yeah. But the if you want to bet on this, you can. Again, watch Wrestling with the Odds, myself and Jared Bailey. It's like plus 2,000. So if you want to throw like a dollar on this or something, there's potentially he's up in his skybox and stuff. And they're like, they just show him up there. Here's Vince McMahon. Yeah, you know, if you're going to bet on it, hey, throw a dollar on it. Maybe you get the skybox appearance.
No, because the reaction will be the opposite of this.
Oh,
it'll be the opposite of that. But what I would do if they ever did a segment with him, because Stacy Keibler is going into the Hall of Fame, they need some sort of interaction where she slaps him in the face and calls him a sexist. And that's it. And it's like, that's for Tori. Because remember how Tori came into the WWF? This is like, man, that's for Tori. We've changed. We are better than this. And then literally the entire women's division is behind her just going, woo! Oh, they're doing this. I'm going to get a lot of mileage out of this board.
Oh, God. I hate you so much. Cannot stand you. This is the last newsworthy ever right here because I will not stand for any of this nonsense.
Is there no more news?
There's no more news. The news is over after WrestleMania week. Just dead. We're dead in the news now that WrestleMania week is over.
I have a ton of interviews still sitting in the can, too. That Effie interview should probably drop before Effie's big gay brunch.
It's written. Like, it's written. I might just go ahead and... But the interview hasn't dropped, though. Like, the articles are done.
No, the articles... Well, they're done, but they're not dropped.
Is the interview published?
The interview is probably not published, no. Because I would have already promoted it. That and the Speedball interview.
Yeah, all the articles are done. I cracked the whip on that stuff. Like, get this shit done.
And the Cardona one hasn't been... Well, the Cardona one's just funny. We don't have to release that right away.
Oh, I re-listened to... Get in trouble now. So his answer on what he likes to eat.
Oh my god. I can't wait until people see this.
Nobody watches this show. This is like a show because it's taped and it's not live. Wife doesn't watch the show. I can get in trouble.
It into the 40-minute mark of this show normally. Yeah.
Nobody sell me out on this, but I played this for the wife because I don't give that purse. I give the same answer when she asks me, like, what do you want for dinner?
People just clued in, but whatever. We're not. And the Janela interview is also really funny. Can I will tell you this. So I did an interview with Joey Janela, and at one point in the video, Janela's giving pretty dry answers, but they're still funny. And one of the questions I asked, he's like, oh shit, that's like a really good question. I'm not prepared for this. I'm like, did I just break Joey Janela? And then I think he took that as a challenge, because then he broke me later in the interview and he got me. So they're really funny. But yeah, Janela, Speedball, and Effie, they're all waiting to come out. But those are some fun interviews that we did for just after GCW in Toronto last week.
Cardona interview is really good. I'll put you over on that one. That one's really
so
good.
I will pull the curtain back. Everyone was great. Like nobody gave us a hassle about doing an interview. Cardona was hard because he was, I think, only staying for like the first half of the show and then going. That was it. He was jetting. So he's out at the front of the room trying to sell his gimmicks, right? And I talked about this on Kate and Joel, that like the venue they held it in is typically a concert venue where like there's no random spaces that we can go to just to shoot an interview in silence. So we did it with Effie because we did it before doors or just as doors were opening. But with Matt Cardona, he was like, I got to sell my stuff. I got to make a living. I'm like, understood, no problem. We'll do it. We'll stand and we'll do it. I then had to go with Tim, wait downstairs at the entrance. This is where he's hawking his stuff, is at the entrances. People are coming in. People want photos. People want autographs. And I'm like, I want to respect Matt Cardona's business. So eventually he grabbed us and he was like, hey, if you want to do it, we'll do it quick. He's like, how long do you need? I said, if it's 5 minutes, that's more than enough. So we went in and we did it, and he was great. Just wonderful. But he's the only one that we like grabbed our shit and like ran to a different location for. Because
Cardona does so well at like the merch table too, that like I remember when I went to AIW and Cardona and Chelsea were there selling the gimmicks and everything, and I eventually got the video, but I was like, I'm gonna just ask him to be like, hey, say fuck Sean Ross Sapp, can you do that for me? And he did it, but like his merch line was like so long and stuff, and like every time I wanted to like go down there and everything, I was like, somebody else would come up, and he's very personable. He's like chatting with everybody and everything. Like, and so I was like, I don't want to like interrupt all that. Finally, there was like a little bit of a break where I went down there. I was like, hey, can you like, I work with Fightful. I know Sean, like, can you be like Sean Ross Sapp, fuck you. And he did it. And it was like great and everything. I was like, he's going to charge me for this. He's going to charge me like $5 to do this thing. He's like, I don't do these bits for free. Fortunately, he did it, but I was ready. I was like, baby, you got money. You got like a fiver on you. You got 10 on you or something. Like he's going to ask me this. All I got is my credit card on me. So we got any dollar bills here? Cardona is like, he's one of my favorite people to like cover, because he's very, he knows what he's doing. He's a very good self-promoter, fantastic self-promoter. And like, he gets it, right? Like he 100% gets it. So shout out Matt Cardona.
And like, just to put a bow on the conversation with at least interviewing wrestlers, you and I have talked about this before, right? It is about navigating the interview and understanding what each talent is going to present as. Some will present as their character. Some will present as themselves. Some are somewhere in the middle. Matt Cardona just presents as his character because, you know, you meet him at the merch table. He is a very sweet and kind dude. And then Red Light goes on and he is Matt Cardona, the character. That's, as long as you know that and you navigate that, you're going to have a great conversation. Same thing with Effie. You know, when people see the interview, like, Effie is very much like himself, like the person that he is. But there's a little tinge of difference here and there, and you'll see it come out in this conversation that he and I have. So, it is about navigating the person that you're speaking to.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you got to understand that going into these interviews and everything. Before we like fully wrap this up, Joel Pearl, because we're at 45 minutes. But you know, a lot of media this week, and I could narrow it down to just five. So I'm just gonna go through essentially my archive that I've done this week and just throw out just a lot of good stuff that has been covered that people should just check out and everything. And it's a way to also put myself over because I do a lot of good work, Joel. And
that's why we're here.
Yeah, this is the show where I do put myself over. I don't feel like I put myself over enough overall of the grand scheme of things when it comes to the overall work that I do. Top Dollar did an interview with Kay Adams on Up and Adams, talking about the botched dive and how his leg is still like recovering from that. Top Dollar, very nice guy. And to hear him talk about that, Kay Adams, like Up and Adams, it's a FanDuel podcast and stuff. Typically, you ain't going to see a whole lot of wrestlers on that. But she had a good relationship with Top Dollar. They seemed like they knew each other from his NFL playing days and stuff. So it was a really fun interview with him. So people can go check that out. Bailey's done a lot of media. She's talked about Mercedes in some of the interviews. So she was on Ringer Wrestling and Masked Men, which is same, like it's all the Ringer stuff. But Bailey is very good in interviews. Sometimes she'll say a lot, and other times she might pull back a little bit, but if you get her in a setting where there's like a lot of time, she's usually pretty open with stuff. So Bailey's done a ton of media. Logan Paul made some headlines on his own podcast just saying that his WWE contract is up, and then he was interviewed by Ariel Helwani and asked like, hey, what's going on here, like, do you want to renew and everything? He's like, yeah, like, you know, we're probably going to renew. It seems like Logan wants it. I can't imagine why WWE wouldn't want it. It seems like they're getting fairly good return on that, at least when it comes to like social numbers and things like that. So I imagine they'll renew that. Logan Paul made some headlines on his own podcast. Then Helwani, I was going to put Helwani over as an interviewer, and I do think he's good because he does very good of asking like follow-up questions and stuff. But what was hilarious about this interview is Logan Paul is like putting over The Miz, and Helwani's like, why? Like, I feel like that should have been a big program between you and The Miz. Like, you turned on him, like, you should have been pro. And Logan's like, yeah, like, it was like, we, you know, he turned on me and like we did stuff. He's like, but there was no big singles match. I feel like you guys should have had a big singles match. And Logan's like, we did at SummerSlam. Like, we had a singles match at SummerSlam. And like, Logan's doubting himself that he had this match against The Miz at SummerSlam because Helwani just could not remember that this match with Miz happened at SummerSlam. Helwani is a very good interviewer, but him like just not remembering this match at all, I don't know if what that speaks to. He tried to save it of being like, oh, a heel, I wanted you as a heel in that match, and then Logan's like, yeah, I'm much better as a heel. I'm like, okay, like, you clearly just didn't remember they had this match at SummerSlam.
he misses Tommaso Ciampa so much that he blocked it out of his memory that Tommaso Ciampa was there, but clearly the match never happened. That's all. That's clearly what happened. That's very funny. I didn't realize that Helwani did that. That's a funny moment. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Helwani also ran into like Sami Zayn in a hotel lobby and was like, hey, you main eventing night one of WrestleMania? And Sami's like, don't know. Like, we'll see. Let it play out. But that was like, that wasn't like an official interview, but like their conversation, they're clearly friends and everything. Like, that was, they referenced like Helwani appearing on WWE TV, and there was some banter about that and stuff. So that was a really fun thing that happened. What else do we have of just Tony Khan did a media call. He said some stuff. I thought that kind of the most interesting thing, which isn't like super out of the ordinary, but Mark Briscoe saying that, like, yeah, I'm not down with, like, they doing, like, tag team wrestling stuff anymore obviously makes sense given everything that happened. But Tony Khan basically, like, confirming that, yeah, Mark's not going to really be doing trios, fine, singles, fine, tag team, no, not really doing that. So I thought there was some interesting little tidbits in the Tony Khan media call. You know, Joel, since nobody makes it this far in the show anyway, I was on the media call, and I don't do Sean usually handles all the media calls, but since he was in LA, I was on this one. They didn't call on me, probably because they thought I was going to ask, like, some, you know, pop myself question of, like, hey, Tony, going to keep the press conference under 45 minutes on Friday with ROH? You know, I'd be a dick and do something like that. Tony, what about CM Punk? You going to bring him into ROH type of thing? Here was my legitimate question for Tony Khan. For those who are listening to this, still listening to this, if Tony Khan is somehow listening to this, give me the Bryan Danielson podcast, please. But if anybody's listening, my question for Tony was, he's spoken very openly. He'd spoken about this on the media call as well. Like, ROH is kind of like, it's more relaxing for him to book because he doesn't have to worry about hitting certain time cues, worrying about minute by minute, worry about quarter by quarter ratings and things like that. Like, making sure, you know, you got to do an ad break here. You got to go, you got to wrap things up by here. Of like, oh, can't run a video package too long. You know, they ran that big Eddie Kingston Claudio video package. Shout out to Joseph Mazzio, by the way. He does fantastic work. They ran that video package. It's like, you couldn't run that 5-minute video package on AEW television. Like, you just can't. And so he talks about just how relaxed and how much fun he's having booking ROH because he doesn't have what are basically TV time constraints, right? So I was going to ask him, with all that said, like, are you still pursuing, like, a TV distribution deal for ROH? Because then you would have to deal with that stuff all over again. So that was going to be my question to Tony Khan. Is that a good question? I don't know. I thought it was halfway decent, but
I think it's a good question. I think it would end with him being like, we're always looking for opportunities, blah, 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 yeah, blah, which is fine. But I think just to get people talking, get people thinking, like, it is, listen, it is good that he's feeling confident about the ROH product, and it's good that he's enjoying booking it because clearly the fans are enjoying it as well. That being said, if television is your big plan, well, TV comes with all the things that you said you'd like, being like about a web-based program that just gets swept away immediately. So, like, are you willing to make that sacrifice, and are you willing to figure out a way to still make it an enjoyable product for yourself and for others at the same time? So I think it's a good question to ask. I do. Well, his response probably would have been canned, but whatever.
Probably, but, like, I always expect that with on a lot of these media calls. Like, you're going to get what you get, right? I was at least going to try to go with a question that I knew wasn't going to be like, hey, I'm not going to comment on that. Or, you know, I wasn't going to just pop myself. As I tweeted, I'm on the call. It's time to be a professional. I can be a professional when I need to be a professional, Joel Pearl. Otherwise, I'm, you know, just here for the pops. Love the pops. Love to be a part of the pop. When I see a good pop, I want to be part of it. Shout out Sami Zayn. Big E has done a bunch of media this week. He said that he has not had his 1-year checkup yet. He said that's going to be after Mania, and then we'll see how things are. Part of me thinks he's working here. Yeah. Part of me thinks he's working. What do you think?
I kind of agree with that. And if you know, the dark Twitter rumblings are true, and there is some talk of having him, and I've been saying this for a little while, like, it'd be really nice to have him be a part of something at WrestleMania on, like, not physical necessarily, but something where he introduced the New Day. But of course, Kofi's down as well with injury, and it kind of washed them away. But just to have the three of them on screen at one point, I think that'd be great. It'd be the first time that the three of them would be on screen together since Big E was injured on WWE television. So, yeah. That'd be a nice pop, but I don't know what to expect. He could very well be telling the truth because he could be waiting until Kofi is closer to being okay, because he also just had surgery on his ankle?
Yeah, ankle. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he got his stitches out. He tweeted that he got his stitches out.
Which is great. I'm hoping that his recovery is speedy. And with Big E, it's possible that, you know, he's playing it cool because he wants to maybe all come back together as one happy unit. But I guess we'll see. But I wouldn't be surprised if he had the doctor's visit so far.
Miz is hosting WrestleMania. Miz is out there doing Miz things, Miz spiels, talking about balls and things like that. And all of a sudden you hear it, Joel. Oh, Los Angeles! Wait for
it, folks. Wait for it. I had a whole thing tweeted out. I forget what it was. Oh, you know what it was? It was going to be LA Knight and The Miz teaming up to take on New Day with Big E doing the intro and then Woods and Kofi doing the match. But obviously we can't do that. So this is before the Kofi injury. And of course, then the conversation shifted to LA Knight and Stone Cold Steve Austin having a face-to-face, which is something that people have posited. And I am heavily on this train of just watching. Yeah. What? Yeah. Just over and over again. And then Austin just being like, you look stupid. And then LA Knight just being like, what? I got to see it.
Look, I'm fine with that. I think that would be a fun promo. Steven Jensen hates LA Knight. I did not know that until our show on Thursday.
We got beef with him. Steven Jensen, we got beef with him. We no longer put over any of his work as good as he is. We cannot anymore discuss Steven Jensen.
Bobby Lashley did some media, doesn't really know what he's doing at WrestleMania. That's what we told the great Denis Salcedo. So we'll see what happens with Bobby Lashley. Here's one for you, Joel. We mentioned liars earlier. Cody Rhodes says he was close to getting into a fist fight with Seth Rollins. This was tremendous. He was on the Dan Levitard show and he's talking about this. This is, and I love it because like the bit is like everybody quote tweets with the headline, the Danielson headline of like, love the lie. Cody Rhodes taught me how fun lying was. Like everybody is in on this stuff now, which absolutely rules. So like, was he close to getting into a fist fight with Seth Rollins? I don't think so. I think this is, you know, work, fun work stuff, but this is a rule. When I heard this, I was like, oh yeah, we're running this. I'm sure it's a lie, but we're running this shit.
Cody Guevara over here wanting to get into a fist fight with Seth Kingston. That's what we're doing. Oh, Seth Andrade.
Seth Andrade. Man, Cody's the best. So much media. He's the friggin' best. I absolutely love Cody. I'm probably going to listen to a Cody Rhodes interview right after we finish this up. Alexa did a lot of media talking about like her WrestleMania status, appearing on The Masked Singer and everything. I do think there was a plan for her to be back at Mania with the Bray Wyatt stuff. It seemed pretty obvious that's where they were going with everything. Who knows now what's going to happen with Bray, because we don't know if he's going to be on the show or anything like that. But I definitely think like that was a plan with things.
Yeah.
Bailey mentioned that she was going to start a wrestling school. That was a Cool to Be You podcast. And this was actually referenced this article. I didn't get any credit. Fightful didn't get any credit. Very mad about that. Maybe they didn't see it originally from us, but I know we were the original ones who posted it. But this was referenced in one of her Ringer podcasts. So there you go. For anybody out there who cares about that kind of stuff, like I do. Danielson did, this was an old interview that he did with our pal Cameron Hawkins, Seahawk, for the Ringer article, but the audio was released for it. And I listened to that whole thing because I love my Bryan Danielson podcast. I'm going to soon be co-hosting a podcast with him. But yeah, the audio was released for that. So people can check that out if they would like to do that. But that was a really good interview that Cam did with Bryan Danielson. I think that's everything that, you know, this is Friday morning. We're recording this. By the time everybody hears this, there's probably going to be another 20 interviews that I've listened to. But big media week for WrestleMania. No shortage of stuff to do. Busy week. Fun week. Funnest week of the year. Let's be honest about it. As someone who, for the most part, enjoys doing this job, this is a week where it's like there's just no shortage of things to do. And it's fun hearing from people that you don't get to hear from a lot, because WWE likes to send out their usual talent to do these interviews and stuff. But for this week, you get more of a mix of people. And not only that, you get them on like different shows and different environments. And sometimes it's not great. A lot of times it's just very cliche, generic kind of stuff. But sometimes they are in a fun environment where they will give like fun answers and everything. So it's a fun week for people like me who really like this stuff.
Yeah, this is a really fun week, like you said. And I love the people who ask out of the box questions that are not necessarily wrestling related. I want to know, you know, what your food habits are on the road. I want to know what weird stuff you're into when you're not in a wrestling ring. It's the same thing in music, right? You're off for 23 hours of the day to work for that 1 hour or less in some cases during the TV time. I want to know what those 23 hours are like. I want to know what you're up to, what you're into, what you want to do. So not everything has to be this big giant scoop of a story. Sometimes it's just a human interest piece. And that's kind of my favorite part of talking to wrestlers. Yeah. And you can find all of those over at Fightful.com. And if you do an author's search, just search for Joel Pearl. I mean, Jeremy Lambert. Both of us are fine. Jeremy, is there anything else you want to put over before we knock it off?
Don't follow me on Twitter. Don't follow Steve Jensen anymore because he doesn't like LA Knight.
Wait. Follow Steven Jensen at @FightTalk_. His DMs are open for the next like 24 hours. DM him LA Knight GIFs, whatever you want to call them. Just DM those to him because his DMs are open for 24 hours. He doesn't like spam DMs. Now's your chance to show him how great LA Knight is.
If people do this, I hope Steven Jensen threatens to fight you. follow Steven Jensen if you want. Twitter's going to, by the time everybody hears this, it's dead anyway because the verification system has been screwed over. Nobody's on Twitter. Don't follow anybody on Twitter. Twitter died. Go to Mastodon. That's a thing still, right?
Kind
of. Go to. I have no idea. I never joined it. Never cared.
I tried and I failed. I'm sorry. Didn't do it. T2.0 or whatever they're going to call it. That's the next one.
Sure.
Whatever. I am at Joel Pearl on other forms of social media as well, so you can follow us there. And again, go check out the Fightful socials. Go check out the Fightful YouTube channel because those will have a lot of the interviews that we're referencing, at least the ones that are in-house. Everything else is on Fightful.com, and Jeremy is writing all the stories. Nobody else. Not one person. There's no one else on the news team. It's just Jeremy Lambert.
No. I'll put over the news team, Colin, Skyler, and Robert. Like they've done a good job this week, and you know, it's only going to get busier, so but they're doing well.
That's a sign of a good leader. He puts over his team. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Enjoy WrestleMania. Cheers.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.